the music. Cut the music.
I think I got my swagger back.
Spectacular group of men. You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Oh, the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Like poison. Like rat poison.
Are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys?
And welcome to the College Football Country Podcast. My name is Josh Parcell, founder of College Football Country, CFBCountry.com. Although I do want to say, if you've been going to CollegeFootballCountry.com lately, I know we're on a bit of a hiatus right now. I'm shutting it down for now. Just got a lot going on. Been doing the podcast now 2-3 times a week. College Football Country also on the radio now once a week, starting twice a week, I think, either this Saturday or next. Going to have College Football Country wake-up call on Saturday mornings. So just got a lot of great things going on. CFBCountry.com. Don't really have the time for it right now. Hopefully, I can start it back up at some point soon, but got to focus on the radio show, got to focus on doing the podcast for you guys, among other things. Also covering the Hornets, covering the Panthers. It's just a lot, so I apologize for those of you who loved listening to the, who love listening to the podcast, who also love going to the website. Unfortunately, right now, just not in the cards, but hopefully it will be back soon. Thank you guys again for listening. Really, really appreciate it. And if you are new to the podcast, thank you so much. Again, CFB Country is the name. Rate and review it. Go find it on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. Leave a rating and review. And when it asks for your name, I need to know who your favorite college football player is of all time, or just the most random name you can think of. That's the game. That's what we do here at College Football Country. If you missed earlier this week, I did my reaction, my immediate reaction to the playoff rankings. And I will do that every Tuesday night moving forward. Let me know what you guys think. Anything you want to see from that podcast that you didn't get this week. Any thoughts, any feedback, always appreciated. And today we've got the return of Rossi Three Stacks. Rossi Three Stacks coming back to the podcast. He's been missing for the last few weeks. He had his bachelor party. I had Reese Davis last week. So we've had a few other guests that have gotten in Rossi's way. But don't worry, he is returning. He's going to give his I Aim to Tease picks, his teasers for the week at the end of the podcast. But first, I'm going to get to my picks for the week. And if you've been following along all season, it's been a bit of a bumpy ride for the gambling picks. Last year was red hot, couldn't lose. Just, I mean, it was honestly, I should be living in a mansion right now with the amount of money I made, the hundreds of dollars that I made last year gambling. I should be living luxuriously at this point. But, you know, it's okay. I decided to reinvest that money, and this year hasn't gone so well. We are rebounding, though. So the last 2 weeks, the picks have gone 8-4, back-to-back weeks of 4-2 against the spread. Last week's picks outrageously close to 6-0. I had Purdue -1. They were down 3 late in that game. They fumble inside the red zone. They have a field goal blocked on the next drive. Michigan State ends up scoring a garbage touchdown at the garbage time touchdown at the end to push that game out to 10. But reality, Purdue was inches away from either winning that game in regulation or sending it to overtime. And then I also miss on the Iowa Penn State under. I had under 51.5 in that game. The total hit 54. Iowa had two safeties in that game. So right there, those 4 points, you take those off the board. I hit the under already. But don't forget about the fake field goal and the pick six for Iowa. They didn't score an offensive touchdown, unless you count a fake field goal as an offensive touchdown, in that entire game. Iowa got 24 points and was able to help push that total over. So dangerously close in a couple of Big Ten games from hitting those two. Would have gone 6-0 otherwise, but that's gambling. It happens. This week we'll try and get back on track and maybe have a perfect week. But again, 8-4 over the last 2 weeks. If you've been following along between the picks on the website, which I had earlier this year, and then the picks, of course, on the podcast, I'm 33-31 for the season. So over 500, basically broken even on the season from a financial standpoint, and again, trending in the right direction. It was real ugly there for the early part of October. Now we're back on track, though. So 7 games to pick. For myself, and then Rossi will come on, give you his teasers as well for the week. But I'm going to dive right in to game number one. And this one is Louisville on the road against Clemson. Now, Clemson, a 37-point favorite in this game. So I've got a couple interesting notes for Louisville here. The Cardinal, 7-20 against the spread in their last 27 games. 7-20 against the spread in their last 27. So not only does Bobby Petrino lose, Bobby Petrino can't even cover. You know how they say good teams win, great teams cover, bad teams win, awful teams can't even, or bad teams lose, and worse teams can't cover. That's Louisville right now. Last week they lose 56-35 to Wake Forest. It's just a disaster for Louisville. Bobby Petrino going to be on the way out after this season. I don't see any way in which he saves his job. Again, this is a guy who went 8-5 and 9-3 in 2 years with Lamar Jackson. If you couldn't win with that guy under center, you probably peaked at Louisville, and that's what's happened to Bobby Petrino. This thing is headed in the wrong direction fast. I actually think that Louisville is a great job. They've got a ton of financial backing there. It's been a disaster from an athletic department standpoint now for years, but Rick Pitino's gone. Chris Mack has come in. He was a tremendous hire on the basketball side. I think they could make an equally splashy hire on the football side. Jeff Brohm is the guy everybody wants at Louisville. Of course, he played at Louisville. Ton of ties to the area, to the school. I don't know that he would take the job. Maybe he would. I don't know anything about Jeff Brohm and where he sits right now in terms of what jobs he wants. Louisville's a great job. I think if they got Jeff Brohm, he would bring that program back to relevancy very fast. I think Louisville would be an ACC contender within 3 years of Jeff Brohm getting in there, cleaning everything up. Bobby Petrino, it needs to be gone. It's run its course now for the second time at Louisville. New administration as well. I think it's over. But that number, 7-20 against the spread in their last 27. Louisville also 1-6. This number actually very interesting. 1-6 against the spread in their last seven after losing by 20 or more points. So basically, when they get blown out, they don't usually bounce back. And sometimes you do look at those blowouts and you say, well, okay, they can probably bounce back the next week. The team's never as bad as it looks the week prior. But Louisville, in its last seven games after losing by 20 or more, they've covered only once in those seven games. So they're not a team that really bounces back super well. Clemson, meanwhile, 4-1 against the spread in their last five. So also Clemson trending in the right direction, offense continuing to get better. The Tigers are just, it seems like they're improving week to week. Trevor Lawrence is starting to get more and more comfortable. Of course, you saw what they did to Florida State last week. I mean, just absolutely pounding the Noles 59-10 on the road. Now they get to come back home. Last time we saw them at home, they blew out NC State 41-7. It just seems like Clemson's getting better and better. Now, I don't think this is going to play a huge role, but if you're looking for something to really dig here at a motivation for Clemson, there is a common opponent factor in this game between Clemson and Alabama. So Alabama took on Louisville, of course, in the season opener. That game finished 51-14, neutral site. Clemson can maybe point to a bigger margin of victory against Louisville at the end of the year if they think they even have a chance to surpass Alabama for the one seed. In reality, it's not going to happen, but maybe Dabo Swinney uses that as motivation for his team. They look at what Alabama did to Louisville. They want to try to go out, make a statement that they can do something similar. Or maybe they just lay another stinker like they did against Syracuse. Who knows? But I really do think Clemson covers that game. Even though it's a big number, I'm going to take Clemson. Look, a lot of points. I don't love laying a lot of points, but I'm going to do it with the Tigers. Moving on, next game, Nebraska and Ohio State. So for the Cornhuskers, they are right now an 18-point underdog in this game. A couple interesting things to note in this one. So Ohio State opened at 21. This was minus 21 when it started. It has moved back to Nebraska. Now it is 18 at the moment. So the line moving towards the Huskers. The numbers you want to know in this one, Ohio State 0-4 in their last four Big Ten games. However, they have covered four straight against Nebraska. So you've kind of got conflicting numbers there. The real storyline in this one for me, I think, is Ohio State having a lot to prove. They're number 10 in the playoff rankings. The first rankings coming out Tuesday night. Ohio State, a lot to prove in this game because they still have a chance. They control, once they control their destiny, they certainly do in the Big Ten, but they also have a really good opportunity to get back inside that top four in the college football playoff. It starts this weekend, and I've got a very interesting nugget on why I'm picking the way I'm picking, but I'm going to save that for you for just a second because I do want to give you a couple other numbers in this one. But the most interesting number in this game is a number from last year, and it was a blowout loss to Iowa. But the most interesting thing in this game to me is the situation for the Buckeyes. So they obviously had the loss a couple weeks ago to Purdue on the road, West Lafayette. They lost 49-20. Everybody jumping off the Ohio State bandwagon now. They were exposed. This team has too many distractions. They're not a legit contender. The Nick Bosa situation has overwhelmed them. The Urban Meyer stuff is hanging over their heads. Look, a year ago, Ohio State lost 55-24 to Iowa. Now, this was a loss that ultimately kept them out of the playoff, but they didn't know that at the time. And the week after losing 55-24 to Iowa, they took on a ranked Michigan State team at home. A ranked Michigan State team, a good team, much better than the Nebraska team they faced this Saturday. They won 49-3. 48-3. They won by 45 points. Okay, they absolutely annihilated a very good Michigan State team. They responded with a resounding win against a top 25 team. This week they get Nebraska, who's not even ranked. Nebraska, who needs to win out to make a bowl. I'm taking Ohio State, and I'm swallowing 18 points. I'm sorry, but I love to see this number coming even closer to Nebraska. I might wait to see if it moves closer to 17. Why not? Why not get the best value? I am taking the Buckeyes. I think Ohio State responds. I think they go on a run here in November. I still like Michigan to win the Big Ten East, but I think Ohio State's going to play really, really well over the next few weeks. They're going to play good football until they get to that Michigan game. It's going to set up a huge showdown in that final weekend in Columbus. But right now I'm taking Ohio State minus the 18. Nebraska has struggled at a lot of points this season. Adrian Martinez hasn't been himself since the injury, and Nebraska has blown several games late as well. I just don't know that they have the depth right now that Scott Frost wants to be able to keep up with a team like Ohio State for four quarters. The defensive line for the Buckeyes, Draymond Jones, Chase Young, they're going to give Martinez fits. I like the Buckeyes minus the 18. So first two picks swallowing a lot of points. Clemson and Ohio State, I don't love doing it, but I've got to lay the points with these two favorites. I think we're getting into that territory now in November where you're starting to see teams feel the need to prove themselves, to go out and play with maybe some style points. That's what you're going to get for the Ohio State and Clemson, is they need to build positive momentum. They need to get some confidence rolling into that late season stretch, because it can be difficult when you get into November and you're trying to find ways to motivate your team. The first week of the playoff rankings is a great way to do that, and I think both of these teams go out and play with a little bit of more of a chip on their shoulder than you normally would see from a favorite of 18 points or 37 in Clemson's case. The third game I am picking here, we're going to stick with the ACC, or actually not stick with the ACC, we'll go back to the ACC, Syracuse at Wake Forest. Now, initially, I was going to take the Demon Deacons, who are now 6.5-point dogs. I'm actually going to go another way on this one. I'm going to take the over 75.5. So 80% of the bets are coming in on Syracuse, which made me immediately jump to Wake Forest. When I see a number like that, when I see so much action coming in on one side, I love to go the other way. That's the smart thing to do. It opened to Syracuse -4. It's now out to 6.5. Wake Forest has only covered 2 of its last 10 games. Syracuse, in its last 8 games following a straight-up win, they are 7-0-1 against the spread. Now, that's a lot of numbers. Basically, what you need to know, Syracuse has, in the last 8 games that they've won, the next week, they've covered 7 of 8 of those. The only time they didn't cover, it was a push. So you're looking at a team that makes you a lot of money coming off of a win. They rebound well after winning football games. That scared me away from taking Syracuse, even though, again, 80% of the action coming in on the orange makes me want to take Wake Forest. I'll tell you, though, I am taking the over, 75.5. Huge number here. This is a sucker bet, betting the over on a total this high. But I can't get away from it. Wake Forest is ranked outside the top 100 in yards per play allowed. Syracuse just put up 51 on NC State. They've got a great offense. They're in the top 10 nationally in scoring offense, averaging 43 a game. Here's the interesting thing about Wake. The Clemson game for Wake severely skewed a lot of their offensive stats. They were dominated in that game. They also struggled at times in the Notre Dame game. They were blown out in that game, got over 20 points at least. But if you don't count Clemson, just take out the Clemson game, which has the best defense in America, one of the best for sure. Wake Forest is averaging 33.5 points per game outside of that Clemson game. So I'm just thinking this team's going to score points. Now, they may not get the 40, but I think they're going to get 30-plus. I think this is a game that looks, I'm going to say, 52-38 type game. I think Syracuse could win, even by two touchdowns, but I don't think that they're going to keep Wake Forest out of the end zone. I think it's 52-38, somewhere in that range. That would go well over the number of 75.5. A lot of points. I'm giving you guys bets that are sound like sucker bets. We're laying 37, we're laying 18, we're taking over 75.5. I just feel good about every single one of them. And again, if you really want to take Wake Forest, I do think there's some value in plus 6.5, but I'm picking Syracuse. I said it feels like a 14-point game. It's not really an official pick. It's just kind of where I'm leaning right now. Either way, I think this game gets high up. I think both teams get close to, if not over, 40 points, certainly over 30. So give me 75.5 over in Syracuse, Wake Forest. Now in the Big Ten, several games here. Michigan State at Maryland. I love this game for Michigan State. And look, I understand, you know, you kind of have this weird guilt about betting against teams that are going through turmoil. It's been really rough for Maryland. Of course, DJ Durkin reinstated and then fired a day later. I don't know what that took them going through what they went through to have to fire him. It seemed like an easy call. That's neither here nor there for this. All I know is Maryland has gone through a lot in the last week. And, you know, you had reports when Durkin came back for the one practice. There was the backup punter, I guess, was accused of being the whistleblower for this whole thing. And he was assaulted in practice. He's pressing charges against players. He had players walking out of meetings when Durkin was rehired. It seems like a total disaster at Maryland. I can't imagine this team is ready to play a football game. Somehow this number is still 2.5. If you can get it, take it with Michigan State. And forget all the other stuff. This is just a bad matchup for Maryland. The numbers to know in this game from a gambling standpoint, Maryland is 1-10 in its last 11 after winning by more than 20 points. So they follow up big wins with losses. They're kind of opposite of what we were talking about earlier with Syracuse, where after a big win, they typically fall on their face. I think Maryland is in a spot right here after winning badly last week against Illinois. I think that this week is a letdown spot for them, forgetting all of the other stuff off the field. Michigan State, meanwhile, defensively, they are number one in the country in rushing yards allowed per game. They're in the top 10. I believe they're number six right now in yards per carry allowed. And Maryland is a run-first team. Maryland's offense really revolves around its rushing game. Kaysom Hill, not a great passer. Maryland's not going to beat you throwing the football all over the place. Michigan State is going to be so stout against the run. I don't see the Terps scoring more than 14 points in this game. I think this game could also go under, but I love Michigan State minus the 2.5. You also think about Rocky Lombardi at quarterback for Michigan State. Watch the kid play. If you're listening now and you haven't watched Rocky Lombardi yet, if he ends up getting the start on Saturday instead of Brian Lewerke, who is the injured starting quarterback normally for Michigan State, last week, Lombardi threw for 318 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no picks. I watched that entire game because, if I mentioned earlier, I had Purdue minus 1. Rocky Lombardi cost me some money in that game. He helped Michigan State get to 23 in that one. He's a fun guy to watch. Not normal. He looks like Sunshine from Remember the Titans crossed with a pro wrestler. He's just got this weird body type. He doesn't look like your normal quarterback. I can't really figure out what's going on with this kid. But he gets it done. He throws great on the run. He makes some really weird, funky plays that just you don't really get how it works, but it does. I think Lombardi plays well again this week if he ends up getting the start. And if Lewerke gets the start, I think Michigan State's fine regardless. So not concerned about quarterback play. LJ Scott getting healthier, his third game back now after the injury midseason. I think Michigan State's offense starts to get it rolling even more. I think this game isn't close. I think Maryland loses by 17 or more. I'm going to go 31-14 Michigan State. They easily cover the 2.5. This is probably my best bet of the week. I hate betting against teams with turmoil. It feels kind of dirty, but look, I'm going to do it anyway. Michigan State, I'm going to swallow 2.5 points on the road in College Park. Now, we get to the bigger games here this weekend. I'm going to go down to the SEC, geographically speaking, to Kentucky. Georgia at Kentucky in Lexington. This game right now is sitting at 8.5. The Bulldogs laying 8.5 points on the road. Now, it opened at minus 10, and 75% of the action is on Georgia. But the line is moving towards Kentucky. Now, what does that tell you? That means the public loves Georgia. That's no surprise. Georgia seems on paper like they're not even on paper. Just you look at the teams, you look at the logos, you say, Georgia should blow Kentucky out. It's great, you know, Kentucky, great story. You're number nine. That's cute and everything. But Georgia's going to dominate you. They played for the national title last year. They look like a team that could maybe compete for another national title this year. There's no way Kentucky keeps this game close. Well, when all the action's going Georgia's way and the line's moving Kentucky's way, that tells you that somebody smart is putting a lot of money on the Wildcats. This reminds me of 2007 when Kentucky took on LSU. That was the Glenn Dorsey LSU team that ended up losing two games in the regular season but still winning it all. And Kentucky was one of those losses. Kentucky beat LSU in Lexington. Huge game, 3:30 game. Vern Lundquist was on the call. It just was all the energy in the world. Great atmosphere there for the Wildcats. And they pulled off the upset. I don't know that Kentucky can pull this upset off. If you start looking at the matchup, however, Kentucky kind of matches up well with the Dogs. Georgia, 72nd in the country against the run in terms of yards per rush. They're not great at stopping the run. You think that this is the Georgia defense of last year. It's not. Roquan Smith not walking through that door. The defensive front seven for Georgia, not nearly as dominant as it was a season ago. Kentucky can run the football. Benny Snell, terrific running back. He started to get some love. He started to get the attention he deserves. Kentucky will be able to run a little bit on Georgia. Meanwhile, Georgia, they run the ball extremely well. They're 15th in the country in yards per carry. But man, oh man, Kentucky's defense is pretty darn good. They have not given up more than 20 points in a game all season long. Only time they gave up 20 was in overtime to Texas A&M. This defense is better than anybody is going to give them credit for. And if you put Auburn's logo on Kentucky's helmet, if this was just Auburn with Kentucky's resume, they'd be higher than number nine. They'd probably be top five or maybe top six at worst. And this line, I think they'd be favored. I think Kentucky would be favored if they were a traditional powerhouse. But because they're Kentucky, they're getting 8.5 points. On the flip side, I will say, if Kentucky had lost to Missouri 14-3, which is what that score was until late in that game, Kentucky pulled off a miracle to come back and win, I think the Bulldogs are favored by close to 2 touchdowns in this game. Instead, it opens at 10. It moves towards Kentucky 8.5. I don't love backing Kentucky here, but I'll say this. It's more fun to bet Kentucky in this game, unless you're a Georgia fan. It's more fun to bet Kentucky. You get 8.5 points, but you're just rooting for what would be an incredible scene, an incredible upset, and to see what that scene would look like on Saturday, if you're able to be celebrating with a little more cash in your pocket as well, I think that makes it all the better. So I do think it's more fun to bet Kentucky in this game than just lay the points with Georgia and hope that they just outmuscle Kentucky. It could happen. I hear a lot of people saying Georgia's going to walk in there and dominate. But I'll be honest, I thought Georgia was going to walk in and dominate LSU. Didn't happen. And LSU and Kentucky are very similar teams to me. I mean, run-first teams, game managers at quarterback. LSU might have a slightly better quarterback play than Kentucky, but not by much. Great defenses. Kentucky's defense is incredibly underappreciated. I like the Wildcats here. I like the Wildcats in this spot. I think the home crowd is going to play a huge role. 3:30 kick again, CBS, the whole thing. I think Kentucky stays inside this number. Don't feel great about it, but I'm going to take it. Kentucky plus 8.5. If you got it when it was 10, good for you. That's great value, but I still like it even at 8.5. I'm going to say this game stays within a touchdown. I think Georgia wins a close one. I'm going to say 27-24. This is a thriller, has game of the day potential if Kentucky can keep that thing close. Two more games to pick against the spread, and then an upset special for you. Penn State plus 10.5 at Michigan. So 10.5 points is the number here. Couple key numbers to know before we get to the pick here. Michigan, 0-6 against the spread following a bye in their last six. So coming off a bye, they have not covered in their last six tries. That is an important stat. Those are the kind of stats that carry over year to year. Sometimes, you know, when you look at trends and, oh, this team is X against the spread in their last 30 games. Well, you know, those games were, you know, totally different team a couple years ago. And it's hard to carry trends over year to year and really put a lot of stock in them. But when I see teams that struggle coming off a bye, that's typically representative of a coach that can stick to a coach more than it does the talent on the field. I just think that number means something to me. 55% of the money right now on Penn State. So basically you're getting a lot of action on both sides. Penn State is 22-7-2 against the number in its last 31. So they've just been a hot team against the spread with James Franklin. Again, I don't put a ton of stock into stats like that. I put more into the fact Michigan has not covered coming off a bye in a while. And I'll be honest, you start talking about the players on the field, Michigan's got a great defense, elite defense. Don Brown, spectacular job. They've got one of the five best defenses in college football. Shea Patterson is getting better at quarterback for the Wolverines. Caron Higdon, tremendous running back. This Michigan team is built to win in November when it gets cold, when the weather gets nasty. But I watched Penn State last week, and I came away fairly impressed. That, you know, they won 30-24 over Iowa. Iowa did not score an offensive touchdown in that game. I know I complained earlier about that over-under and Iowa getting over the total with just a bunch of ridiculous points. To recap how Iowa scored its 24 last week against the Nittany Lions, they scored on a safety, a field goal, a fake field goal, another safety, a pick six, and a field goal. So they got to 24 points without scoring an offensive touchdown. Penn State's defense is playing at a very high level right now. They're one of the better ones in the country, although they don't get the credit for it. And they put up 30 themselves against Iowa. So I think Penn State is going to be able to stay inside this number. Two great defenses, low-scoring game, run-first teams, low-possession game, clock's going to be churning, you know, nasty Big Ten Michigan weather in November. I think that 10.5 is a great value when you're talking about teams that are going to play the style that these two teams play. And it would not shock me if Penn State put off the upset. I've been on Michigan's bandwagon. I think Michigan wins the Big Ten East. I think Penn State puts a scare into them this weekend. I could see this game coming down to a field goal. I'm going to say we're talking 27-24 range. Give me Penn State plus 10.5. I think this is a great bet. And I'm honestly scared that my Big Ten East pick is going to fall this weekend. I could see Penn State pulling off this upset. You're giving me 10.5 points. Don't forget this. I almost forgot. 10.5 points. And you're giving me the better quarterback. When I get the best quarterback on the field and I get 10.5 points too, I take it all day. Trace McSorley was injured in the Iowa game, came back after missing a few series. Tommy Stevens did a great job in his stead. McSorley comes back, leads a comeback, had a long touchdown run in that game. The offense looked great when he came back under center. I just think when you get the best quarterback on the field and you get 10.5 points, I don't care that it's on the road. I think Penn State goes in there and puts up a fight in a close game. So I'm taking Penn State plus 10.5. Two more picks to get to. I'm going to save the big one for absolute last. Actually, wait a minute. Hold on. One more pick. That's right. I got two more, but one is my upset special. I'm going to leave that one for later. Alabama and LSU, game of the year. Been waiting to pick this one for a while. This is the game everyone's been waiting for. 8 p.m. kickoff, CBS, game of the week, game of the year, game of the night. It's going to be amazing. Baton Rouge. Look, the reality is Alabama is going to cover this spread. Here's what you need to know about the Crimson Tide. They have been outside the number. They have been covering in every game this season. Every single one. At some point, they've been covering the spread. I'm going to walk you through every Alabama game this season. Louisville. 23.5 point favorites, they won by 37. Arkansas, 36.5 point favorites, they won by 50. Ole Miss, 22.5 point favorites, Alabama won by 55. Texas A&M, 24 point favorites, they were up 29. A&M scores late to cover, Alabama wins by 22. Louisiana Lafayette, 49 point favorites, led by 56, they won by 42. Lafayette went in the back door to cover. Arkansas, 35-point favorites. Alabama led by more than 35. Arkansas won by 34, scoring a couple late touchdowns to stay inside that number. Missouri, Alabama was favored by 28. They won by 29. Tennessee, 29.5-point favorites. They won by 37. Alabama has been covering at some point in every single game this season. The only games where they have failed to cover, it was when the backup defense came in late, gave up a couple backdoor scores. It allowed those underdogs to stay inside the number. Then in the three games, Alabama has not covered. It's come by a combined 10 points against the margin. So against the spread margin, that is. So look, Alabama, they're a covering machine. I think it's going to happen again this weekend. You talk about some of the important matchups in this game. You're talking about Joe Burrow on offense. He has six touchdown passes all season long. Tua Tagovailoa has 7 in his last 2 weeks. Okay, this is just a mismatch on the offensive side. I know I said a lot of the same things a few weeks ago when LSU took on Georgia. And what happened in that game? LSU won going away in a rout. seems like I lose money every week on the Tigers. I keep fading them. They keep proving me wrong. I just can't see a scenario where Alabama doesn't stay inside 14.5. And a big reason why is when the starters are in the game for Alabama, they cover the spread, period. And this is not a backdoor trap. This is not a game you have to worry about Alabama giving up a couple scores late with the backups in the game. Nick Saban, look, he's notorious for showing mercy against some of the lesser caliber teams they play. But when they play the big boys, Nick Saban keeps his foot on the throat. And even if he were to put in the backups, it certainly wouldn't happen if this game was anywhere close to 14.5. It would be if Alabama got up 35 or more. And I just don't see, even if they get up by 35, LSU scoring three touchdowns late in a game to cover a 14.5 point number. I think Bama stays well outside of this for most of the game. I do think LSU maybe scores late to keep this game within 21, let's say. 14 just is too much. I think it's going to be Alabama 42-21 in this game. No Devin White in the first half. When you think about Alabama covering every single game this year in the first half against that first half spread, it just seems like a game Alabama's going to jump out early. I could see this being 21-0 before you know it. So I'm going to take the Crimson Tide minus 14.5 at LSU. And those are my picks against the spread, but the last one I will give you, money line bet, underdog, upset of the week, Texas A&M. They're a four-point dog against Auburn on the road. I think Texas A&M wins outright. I think the Aggies go into Jordan-Hare and win, and A&M is coming off of a bad loss against Mississippi State. This is their third straight road game. They had a bye week in the middle, but three straight games away from College Station. The thing about Auburn, though, they also lost to Mississippi State a few weeks ago. You look at a common opponent, Auburn lost by 14, 23-9. And I think these are just two teams going in different directions, two programs going in different directions. Texas A&M still has its goals in front of it. And for A&M, it was, you think about just winning 9 or 10 games, getting to maybe a New Year's Bowl game. That'd be a great season for Jimbo Fisher in his first year. Meanwhile, for Auburn, they had hopes of contending for the SEC, maybe challenging Alabama. Those hopes are gone. These two teams are both 5-3, but they're going in opposite directions. And I think for A&M, this is an opportunity for them to take another step forward under Jimbo Fisher. Meanwhile, Gus Malzahn has never made a name for himself as somebody who can keep the train on the tracks as it starts to you start seeing signs of shakiness for Auburn. You start seeing those signs of vulnerability. I think that Auburn this week struggles again. They put up 31 in a win against Ole Miss. Honestly, anyone can put up 31 on Ole Miss. That's not really a sign to me that Auburn's offense has corrected its problems. There's been a lot of just drama around that program. Jarrett Stidham's been a huge disappointment. I think A&M has too much firepower, and I think Auburn struggles to keep up in this one. So I think A&M wins it outright in Jordan-Hare. Those are the picks, 7 against the spread, then the upset special, A&M. Now it's time for the real moneymakers. It's I Aim to Tease with our old buddy, Rossi Three Stacks. He's back for more teasers this week. Welcome back, Rossi Three Stacks.
All right, 3, 2.
Sounds like.
Who?
Nothing.
Who does it sound like?
I was going to say it sounds like my first marriage.
Oh, well. Don't say that. Those jokes are starting to get a little more sensitive. We are recording. It's okay.
Oh, hello, world.
We're live. Okay. Hey, Ross, welcome to the podcast, man.
Josh, great to be here. Really great to be here. Was I serving some sort of unofficial, like, couple week suspension because of our last round of picks, or are you just trying to imply that Reese Davis is a bigger name guest than me? Discuss.
It was more the first one. If the teasers were hitting, I would have blown off Reese for you.
I don't understand. It's something to do with me saying I'm going to bet against UVA every week until I'm proven wrong, and them having one of the best against the spread records in the country. Is that it?
The fade Virginia crowd isn't very rich right now. Neither is the fade LSU crowd. I've lost a lot of money on LSU. You've lost a lot of money on UVA. We're both just broke right now, and
I think it's time we go on full tilt.
you don't give the best financial advice. Has anyone ever told you that?
We're not doing. No, I'm fiscally responsible with everything but my college football gambling. Look, we're changing it this week. We're not doing I Aim to Tease. We're going to do parlays to party. How about that?
Oh, God. Okay, no, so we are going on tilt.
I'm just kidding. I've got teasers. Oh, Josh, hello. Good
man.
To be back.
I would have been on board with the parlays.
Well, you can parlay these instead.
Okay. All right, fine. What, how many do we have?
Four.
Ooh, wow.
Get weird little, number.
Extra one in there.
Did I run out of time? Maybe. But that's what we've got.
Okay.
We're at four.
Let's
you ready
go with
for
those four? I was born ready.
Buddy, all right. Starting things off, Washington State is in the teaser zone at -9.5 against Cal. We're going to tease them to -2.5.
Okay.
I think Washington State, who, as you know, one of the best teams in the country against the spread.
Undefeated against the spread.
Sure. I'd say they're definitely one of the best. So Cal beat Washington last week, which I think people took note of. 12-10. Yeah, and Josh, I'll give you credit, man. You kind of called weeks ago that Washington did not have a lot left to play for, probably was going to be a little bit of a letdown the rest of the year, and that certainly has come true. So I don't put as much stock in that Cal win. They have had some pretty bad results. They lost to UCLA by 30, lost to Arizona. They're not that great, frankly. So I think there might be some recency bias of people who saw that they beat Washington. Washington State, on the other hand, just really good team. So this is one of those cases where I really do think that they'll cover that, that very small number once you've teased it.
Yeah, you get that down to a field goal. You're talking about Washington State. Like, I don't think Washington State's a playoff team. I think they're a little overrated at this point. They shouldn't be ranked number 8. But like you said, that Washington win for Cal last week, not nearly as good as it probably would appear. And also, it was 12-10. It's going to be a little different story this week. Trying to keep up with Mike Leach. So I don't love that Cal needs to try to put up 40 points in a shootout. Don't see it happening. Nope. I think Washington State wins easily more than a field goal. And honestly, they probably cover 9.5 too. But
totally agree, man. That's at night, the Fighting Mike Leaches are going to be rolling. They're feeling really good about themselves. Top 10 team. Love it.
Yep, no doubt about it. So what's your next pick?
All right. We're going to stay in this awesome teaser zone, -9, Georgia. Against Kentucky. So we're going to tease them obviously down to -2. I've got some inside sources. I'm not going to name names inside the Georgia Rivals message board who think that this is the week that Georgia really puts it all together. I think they turned the corner a little bit last week in their big win against Florida, and that they keep it going this week against Kentucky. This is, again, in the teaser zone. I think Georgia got their loss out of the way for the regular season. I think they're going to win out. I know Kentucky's good. They most certainly are. But I love getting Georgia -2, just needing to win the game outright, basically.
Yeah, so I just finished up my predictions, and I know you weren't listening. It was not live.
No.
I have a weird feeling Kentucky's going to keep this thing close. I don't hate you teasing it. I get that. And I actually think this is a game you could probably tease both sides of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, love that. Now we're talking. Let's go.
This might be a two-way teaser because I think Georgia wins, but I do think this game's going to be close. Bad matchup for Georgia. Like, just Kentucky, great rushing defense. That's what Georgia does well. Georgia doesn't stop the run that well. 72nd in the country. I know you like to use stats, Ross, so I'm going to throw one at you. 72nd in the country against the run, yards per carry. Kentucky runs the ball well. The other number, what was it here? So I'm pulling it up. I want to say it's 75% of the action is on Georgia, yet the line is moving towards Kentucky, which means smart money is coming in on the Wildcats. I just feel like
my money hadn't come in yet.
Well, when Rossi Three Stacks drops the bag, that's going to shift this line. It's probably going to be Georgia -14.
Yep.
There's something weird about it that tells me Kentucky is going to keep it close. Plus, it's a low total, 44. So when you get those low totals, big spreads, it's tends to benefit you if you take the underdog. But in the teaser zone, I don't know that I can see Georgia, which still has playoff hopes on the line, losing.
Yep.
So from a teaser point of view, I'll ride with you. I might even end up teasing this both ways.
Man, there's nothing more exciting than teasing both sides of a game. Nothing.
Oh man. I like teasing underdogs and the under or the over. I don't know if it matters. Teasing a line and a total in the same game can get pretty thrilling as well. Although it can be a mind bender sometimes, but especially if you have the under where you're like rooting for you don't like teasing the under because you're rooting for no points, but also rooting for the underdog to score to keep it within the line. Yeah, it really messes with your head. But Yeah, I'll stick with just teasing both sides of the spread here if I have to. So I would tease Kentucky to – man, you get Kentucky plus 15.5, Georgia. That's tickling me where it itches, man.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Man, I think you've talked me into that also.
Yeah, we're doing it.
It's kind of fun. It's like you're – well, I'm trying to think what's a good analogy here. It's like you're kind of putting stuff on each side of a scale, and you want it to just keep being perfectly even.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You just, like, every time somebody scores, like, all right, slow down. A little bit on the other side now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's great.
That's perfect. All right, so we're teasing both sides of that one. So what do you have, one more or two more? I've already lost count.
Something like that. NC State is -9.
Oh, boy.
Also in the teaser zone.
Oh, boy. No, you hate the Wolfpack.
I am an NC State hater. I am.
You're teasing them down.
I'm going to tease them down to -2 against FSU. But you could probably talk me into the other side of this also.
Mm.
Look, NC State, as I have said numerous times on and off the air, they are the 2015 North Carolina Tar Heels.
Mm.
They are going to win plenty of games, but you just see them against decent teams and they get kind of exposed. FSU though is such a mess, man.
I know. I know.
And it's at home. I really think NC State, them and their fans are just dumb enough to always think they're going to be contenders or be good or feeling like they're disrespected. So I don't feel like this is a situation where they were, you know, their season's over because they lost a couple of big games. Like, I think they're going to keep playing. And I really think they win this game by at least a field goal.
Yeah, I guess from a teaser point of view, I'll roll
with
you.
We're teasing that number, man. That was the theme of the week. We're not teasing teams this week. We're teasing numbers from 9 to 2.
I will say it opened 6.5 and it's jumped out to 9. So this would have been a heck of a teaser earlier. You could have got State as a dog in a teaser. But
where's your smart money going on this one?
So I'm looking here, Action Network, they do a great job. 73% of the action on State and the line's moving out. So everything's just on the Wolfpack here. But 73 is also a dangerous number if you're a gambling expert out there. 73% on one side usually means you want to go the other way. But this isn't teasers, though. See, they don't know about IM to tease.
They don't know about this.
They don't want that smoke.
No, I think in seriousness, I do think there probably are smart gamblers out there who realize that NC State is not as good as people were hyping them up to be.
Mm-hmm.
The people who listen to this podcast and are like, wow, Ross finally got one thing right this season. boy, did I sniff that one out from the get-go. No, I don't know. I just think NC State wins. Again, I'll get back to one of the fundamental Rossi 3 Stacks rules of do you think this team will win? And I do. I think NC State will win. I think this is one that, though it's not nearly as big of a game as it looked like it was going to be at the beginning of the year, I think they still have more to play for in their minds than Florida State does.
All right, what's your last one?
Memphis is -13 at ECU. We're going to tease them down to -6.
Ooh,
so
okay.
Memphis, as you recall, when they were last seen blowing a big lead against UCF.
Mm, yeah, that one hurt.
That one did hurt. So ordinarily, I would think letdown game after that, but they did have a bye week. And I think, you know, still have a solid season going. ECU is kind of unpredictable, so I don't love betting on them. They've lost by a lot, and they've also won a couple games that were hung around in games they maybe shouldn't have. It's at ECU, but I still think Memphis comes back. They've regrouped after a tough loss and game where they played a very good team really close. I think they have shown that they are just a much better team overall and, you know, week to week than ECU is. Played a lot of the same teams at this point, and when you go transitive property, have much better records against or much better results against those teams. So I think absolutely Memphis is going to win this game by a touchdown or more.
You know, I actually would buy this a lot. I think I might take Memphis against the spread regardless. I can't say a lot about Memphis's state of mind, but I'll tell you this about East Carolina. So their last 3 weeks against the better teams in the American Conference, which I would consider Memphis in that group. They lost. East Carolina lost to Temple 49-6. They lost to Houston 42-20. They lost to UCF 37-10. So they're losing essentially by an average of close to, 25 to 30 points per game against some of the better teams in the conference. Their two wins were against North Carolina, who's a train wreck in their own right, and also that is East Carolina's Super Bowl. That is the biggest game ever for East Carolina. So they were up for that game. North Carolina just completely imploded late, too, which, I mean, ECU was winning that game for four quarters, but it wasn't wasn't quite. I feel like East Carolina was ahead.
Maybe they were. Maybe technically they might have been winning at the end of each quarter, which I guess is what you said. But Carolina, I will distinctly remember the four plays of that game I got to watch. Carolina was up like six and got a stop, and a guy from Carolina just had like the dumbest late hit ever.
Right.
That kept ECU's drive alive, like after Carolina had just gotten momentum in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then ECU came back and beat them.
So
anyway, you're right.
The point is they unraveled.
Way off topic. Yes.
So Carolina unraveled in that game. It wasn't really a 22-point win. It's not like East Carolina's absolutely dominated the entire game. And then they beat Old Dominion the week after ODU beat Virginia Tech. And that's just – it's a weird spot for ODU. And they've also – ODU's been absolutely – that Virginia Tech game will go down in college football history as the most inexplicable result ever. I mean, ODU has been not just bad. Like, ODU has been historically bad, and then they beat Virginia Tech. Like, it just there's no gray area there.
The Hokies haven't exactly been world beaters since that game either.
I understand, but it's still like that's how bad Old Dominion has been.
I know. It is baffling. You're exactly right.
Old Dominion has lost to ECU, Florida Atlantic by 20, Marshall by 22, Middle Tennessee State by 34. I mean, it just they are not good.
Now I feel like who's ODU playing this week? Do we need to bet against them?
Oh, buddy. Well, they're playing vaunted bye week on Saturday.
Brigham Young East, huh?
Yeah, but they do play North Texas next week, so just keep an eye on that one. Cause
I'll bet on that.
We like the Mean Green. So yeah,
Josh,
so
I do have one amendment to what I said before.
Okay.
The UCF Memphis game was actually on October 13th, and then they played Missouri.
They did. They got killed by Missouri.
They got smoked by Missouri. Yeah. I don't hold that against them.
No, me either. And I mean, they put up 33. That's Missouri's got a good offense when they want to. So
for sure.
I'm with you. I think Memphis.
They were still off last week, and I think this is still a good bounce back spot for Memphis.
Yep.
To cover, I'm with you. I actually probably will bet on them -13, but definitely like them at -6 in the tees.
Yeah. Poor Scotty Montgomery. He'll be out at the end of the year. Who do you think gets the East Carolina job? Do you have any thoughts?
Zero thoughts.
None. As a resident Tar Heel, vice president of Tar Heel operations, I feel like that's close enough to your area of jurisdiction that you should have thoughts on East Carolina. Are there any former UNC assistants in the mix? God, I hope not.
I have no idea. They can have any of North Carolina's if they want them.
What about
Larry?
What about
Fedora?
Yeah.
Chris Kapilovic.
Actually, Larry Fedora probably honestly wouldn't be that bad of a move for East Carolina.
He'd be phenomenal at ECU. Are you kidding me?
Could you imagine UNC paying Larry Fedora $14 million to coach at ECU? Oh,
that would be a phenomenal use of money.
Oh, and you know he'd beat UNC also. Like that would happen. That would absolutely happen. Carolina's paying him $14 million. He goes in and beats the Tar Heels in Chapel Hill.
That would be awesome. Poetic justice.
Promise that will happen. Well, absolutely.
The most North Carolina thing ever. No, Fedora is going to be a great offensive coordinator for Oklahoma State next year.
It sure would. All right. Well, Rossi, on that note, why don't you run down your picks really quickly?
Oh, okay. Sure. Washington State -9.5 to -2.5 against Cal. Georgia -9 to -2 against Kentucky. NC State -9 to -2 against Florida State, and Memphis -13 to -6 at ECU.
There it is. The teasers of the week. I got great picks all around. I had 7 picks. You had 4 in the teaser, so there's 11 winners for you. It's just going to
really
be a good,
good stuff.
Ross. I can taste
really,
it.
Really, really good stuff. I'm looking at Minnesota -9.5. They're also in the teaser zone.
Basically, anybody who's -9.5, just tease them down. That's
TCU
wrong.
-8 against Kansas State. That's
TCU
in the teaser
sucks.
Zone.
TCU is terrible.
Oh, you suck. Miami -9.5 against Duke. I don't know why I didn't bet on that one.
Okay.
Notre Dame -9.5 against Northwestern.
I don't know how I'm feeling about the last two, but that's okay.
I'm just listing. Well, I didn't give them out. I'm just listing other games
9.5 point
in the teaser zone. Yeah.
Highway to the. I might get that.
That would be the most stressful day ever. I'm just going to bet on like six games, tease them all down to -2.5.
I think we have to do it.
All of them are going to come down to like last second field goals. I'm going to be betting on six college kickers to make game winners.
That's just. Aren't you getting married in a month? This is good financial planning.
Yeah, exactly. Not after this weekend. I'm probably not.
That's amazing. All right. Well.
All right, Josh. Well, this lawn's not going to water itself.
Attaboy. Well, hey, Ross. We'll.
If I want a good lush green lawn by this spring, I'm going to need to get on out there.
You go get it. Hey, well, if I don't have Chris Fowler next week, I'll welcome you back.
That is ridiculous, man. Reese Davis over me, that's stupid. I love Reese Davis probably more than Reese Davis's wife, and I'm still offended.
Well, I'll make sure that I'll let you take it up with him the next time we have him on.
Reese, if you're listening, I love you. You're a handsome man.
All righty, well, that's going to do it. Thanks a lot, Ross.
All right. Hey, Josh, I'm proud of you, buddy. See ya.
Yep.